Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast.
Overnight news.
Well, the subs in Adelaide are good, Dits. Plenty of jobs down Port Adelaide way. They'll be very happy down the neck of the woods.
I've got quite a few questions to ask, Roo. I want to get to this later on this morning. Yep. A few things I don't understand, but that's not normal, not unusual.
No, I think it's some basic questions that need to be answered about using nuclear power.
The French say that they've been stabbed in the back. I reckon we stabbed them right down the front, actually. We just said, we don't want you.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're outdated. What about in Melbourne? We're talking about mandatory vaccinations for different industries and different sectors and jobs and all that sort of stuff. Well, you know the name John Setka, Dits. He's that big union boss, the CFMEU, the big sort of brute of a fella. Well, he was against it, but he is allowing it to happen on all Victorian job sites now. He's just basically said...
Desperate
measures. So all the construction sites across Victoria, though, will be mandatory to be getting jabbed.
Roo, I'm still interested, moving forward, the AFL Players Association stance on this. They are still making noises about, no, our players, if they don't want to get back, so they don't have to, they will not be able to travel next year.
That's coming out next week, I think you'll find, in the AFL. Okay. And there'll be a few, Dits. There's 800 and something players.
Yeah.
There'll be a few that are totally against it, and they might step away from it. Who knows?
Hey, the best 500 songs of all time has been released. Rolling Stone does this from time to time. They last did it in 2004. Now, of all the great songs you can think of, and we've all got our own favourite, I'll bet you
didn't... You're not going with Lipstick on Your Collar.
That came Connie second, Francis. Number two.
Okay.
I'll bet you didn't think this was going to be the best song of all time.
Aretha!
Aretha
Who's
Franklin.
This?
Rolling Stone magazine, which is the most famous rock and roll music magazine ever.
Haydo.
Yeah.
What now, in 2004, Haydo, Bob Dylan was at number one, like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
And he's don't like Bob.
Not a big fan.
Like a Rolling Stone's a classic.
Well, that was the best song of all time up until now. So Aretha has overtaken. Bob's dropped a number two. I can't get no satisfaction. The mighty all-time greatest Rolling Stones, they were at number two back in 2004. They've dropped to about 31.
What's happened to the Stones?
Oh, they're out of form. There's been a big shift.
I think David Frick, that's the guy that's like the senior editor of Rolling Stone. I think when they do these lists, they look at what's happening now and what songs are relevant, and that's why the list changes. That's what I've been told anyway.
So there you go. Aretha Franklin.
Tell who's dropped out of the top two, Dits.
Mm.
Tom, our little work experience boy with his coffee-making ability. What is going on with
this? Is yours lukewarm?
Mine's freezing.
I would have said lukewarm. We've just discovered something. Tom's got a few life lessons to be told.
Yeah.
No. Tom.
You might be a brainiac, mate, but you can't make a bloody coffee.
I've had a bad moment here.
Yeah, but this has been going on for weeks. How many weeks have you worked here?
A few months now.
And we've just got to the bottom of it, Roo.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, is this bad parenting or what? Did you ever have to do anything in your house or did Mum do everything?
I think we're finding out that it might be the latter.
Mum did everything. Yeah. So we've just discovered... because we had a witness. Otherwise, we would never have discovered
what
this.
What have you found out?
Sam, the audio
man. We've had someone throw me under the bus.
Spotted Tom making our coffees, which is every morning. He says, you want a coffee? We go, yeah, thanks, we're on air. Yep. Brilliant. He goes to the kitchen and turns on the hot tap and makes our coffee out of the hot tap. Now,
Tom, are
you familiar with a kettle that boils, or have you ever seen one? Have you ever been exposed to one?
Well... Yeah, no, I've had a bad moment here. Yeah, there's no doubt about this. Yeah, no, well, that's Sam's caught me a bit. I think that's what's coming out. Yes.
Oh, God.
You're barrack for Port Adelaide. You got Port Adelaide bloody bed sheets. You got all Port Adelaide players on your walls, and you make coffee out of a tap.
What happens is we have Jared and Sam are responsible for the coffees, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't actually know how to make coffee. Clearly, we find out why I'm not responsible for the coffees, because when I try to do it.
What else don't you know?
Because that's something you should know.
Yeah. I don't actually drink coffee, and not in my house really drinks coffee.
Until
I started working here, I didn't drink coffee.
Oh, geez, a lot of life lessons we can teach him, Tommy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Loz didn't know who Basil Zemplis was yesterday.
I know.
That's true.
I know.
Does that mean we're all fossils? Or do you know Basil?
Yeah, well, I'm football obsessed, so I know Basil.
Yeah, but he's the mayor of Perth, surely.
Triple M Zone.
Channel 7.
He's everywhere.
How can you not know Basil?
I know. Yeah. But she didn't. She had no idea.
Actually, now I'm going to put you in it too. You didn't know that leaves change colour in autumn. until you moved to
Hardcore. No, I knew they changed colour. I just thought they were different trees.
Trees in Port Adelaide.
Well, no.
You did not know that the leaves change colour.
There are only trees in the eastern suburbs, Ruth, where you live.
Well, how do you not know that then?
Well, I don't know.
You're bloody nearly 60.
1 minute they're green, next minute they're orange or red.
Do you think they got sunburned?
No, I thought someone had come along and planted new trees or
something. Oh, mate. Me and Hayden are the only normal people. 1-3-5-3. What are some things you don't know that you should? Seriously, Tom, you got to use a kettle, mate. And Dits, trees I've do noticed, change colour.
Actually, something else came up with Tom at the morning meeting.
Oh, here we go.
No, something else. What else? He's wet behind the ears. He's never heard of the Exeter Hotel. So Sam, the audio man, said, I'll meet you at the Exeter. I'll meet you at the Exeter. Tom went, where? So we've had to explain to him what the Exeter Hotel is.
There's a few areas I need to improve on. It's fair to say.
1-3-3-5-3. What are some things you don't know that you should? Dobbing yourself, dobbing a mate. We've got a double to go to the New Shoots Music Festival, a double pass to go there. Give us a call.
I'll tell you one in a minute. The great Bruce McAvaney. I've got a good one.
Oh, delicious. You can't drop Bruce in.
No, I've got to tell you.
He will.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute.
All right.
Ruined Dits.
What happened with Bruce Dits?
Things you should know.
Are you allowed to tell stories about Bruce?
Yeah, it's harmless.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I can say on one hand, he's the greatest. He's still the best commentator in my lifetime, so he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But when it comes to family stuff and around the house, he's lacking. Two quick things. So we all go to the family shack.
Yeah.
And we were taking a table outside. I think we're having a barbecue.
Mm.
And to carry the table outside now, the simplest things. I open the screen door, and you know at the top, when you want to hold the screen door open, at the top you slide that little
metal thing along. Little latch.
Right? Anyway, I slide that along and leave, and the door open. Bruce just stood there staring at it. He goes, how'd you do that?
What?
I said,
he usually has doors open for him.
I think he must have. Anyway, but he was fascinated. He said, oh, that's incredible.
And that was the role you were playing.
Anyway, so I re-demonstrate. I did it. I said, watch this, Bruce. I slid it back.
Oh.
I slid it back along.
God, you're a handyman.
He goes, yeah, amazing.
Who came up with that?
Yeah. How long's that been happening? Anyway,
how's he go cooking a barbie?
No, so then on another
like
occasion.
No idea.
On another occasion, we're around his place, so it's, you know, he's very house proud. He has, because we all offer, I'll cook the, because we kind of know he's half useless at this.
He says, no, I'll cook it now.
No, he knows. He actually does know that
does
it's
he?
Not his strength. So a good half an hour goes by and there's not much happening on the barbecue.
No sizzle?
Wasn't turned on.
Oh, you're
so
joking.
There was a heap of meat sitting on the hot plate and the grill.
Had it been used?
It was fairly pristine. It was clean.
That's a man.
So things you should know. I would have thought they were givens, but anyway, apparently not.
Yes. Oh, we've got a text from Bruce. You're dead to me, Dits. Okay, so there you go.
Oh, nice.
Hey, I've got one text here. Automasters text line wants to remain anonymous, so it will. Coming from someone who's a senior person down at Osborne, this one. So do you realise everything currently on site has been put on hold? Many guys will be out of work by Christmas. The current buildings are for diesel subs and not for nuclear. So redesign and rework of the site is an 18-month minimum before any work starts.
Roo, I've got a few questions about this because I'm not without being a smart aleck now, but I was thinking that as well. So are we saying, what happened? I want to take calls on this a little bit later on. We can't do it now because we're going to the news. But yeah, were you told yesterday, well, down tools, we're not building this thing anymore. We're now building something else. So do we stop halfway through building a sub and just scrap it?
From Holden's to bloody Ford's.
There's quite a few questions, I reckon. So we'll find out a little bit later on. We'll take some calls on it, okay?
1-3-3-5-3 a bit later on.
Triple Ed's ruined Dits.
Roo, the highlights of the week. We play these on a Friday. The top five from Sammy, our audio man. What's he got for us this week?
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five.
Port lost a prelim on the weekend.
How's your grand final tickets and your flights and all that?
Yeah, does anyone want to buy any?
Roo learned a new word thanks to Rob.
The AFL have allowed the Port players to wear their prison bar guernsey in 2 weeks' time while they're watching the grand final.
Oh, that's a low blow.
Schadenfreude.
Yes. Wow. For those of you that don't know, Schadenfreude means pleasure from someone else's misfortune.
That's right. Oh, good. Thanks for explaining, because I didn't know what it meant.
We learned Dits moves on from a Port loss quickly.
Oh, tough start to the season for us, Roo. We play Glenelg in the first game. It's a two-dayer at home.
What are you talking about?
It's cricket season.
Oh, it's cricket.
I'm looking forward to it already.
And so does Port Tragic Premier Stephen Marshall.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the Ashes at the Adelaide Oval later in the year. And I love the cricket. And I've always loved the cricket. That's my sport.
Number four, we had the Mayor of Perth, Basil Zemplis, on.
Good morning, guys.
Basil, I get called the Mayor of Wakery, but it's not quite up to the Mayor of Perth.
And learnt that Roo was trying to break the world record for the world's longest question.
I'm delighted to say everybody's embracing it. They really are.
Except for your Premier sometimes. He doesn't sound too excited. But what's your thoughts on the grand final?
You can actually hear Basil trying to get a word in.
This is my theory. It should be in Melbourne 1 year, Perth the next. Melbourne that year, Adelaide next. Melbourne, then...
Okay, Roo, we might have to keep moving. Number three. We learnt that Wednesday was Bear Day. The boys were talking pandas.
Which is which, by the way? Do you know?
I think Wang Wang... Wang.
Is he the boy?
I think he's there.
Is that how he got his name?
Well,
it was so good they named it twice.
That's right.
School kids called up with bear jokes.
What do you call a bear with no teeth?
A bear with no teeth. What do you call it?
Is it a Port supporter?
A gummy bear.
Yes.
Sophie, what's your joke for us?
Why didn't the teddy bear eat dessert?
Why didn't the teddy bear eat dessert? Why?
Because it was stuffed.
It was stuffed.
Adorable.
You're adorable up until the punchline. Good on you, Sloane.
Roo didn't seem to like that bear joke, but then had one of his own about the orphaned baby koala that was rescued.
To try and convince the baby koala to jump on the pole and bring it down to safety, they strapped a teddy bear to it as like to try and make it look like a mummy or daddy koala.
I'm going to cry.
And how dumb a baby koala.
Oh, shut up.
Let's check back in and see if Roo's question to Basil Zemplis is still going.
Change around so that everyone gets to experience what you're doing now. They can
hold on, Basil. The Mayor of Wakery has the floor.
On facilities. You can do all the facilities around Australia. Melbourne can have it every second year because of the amount of sides they got, but take it around our nation. It's called the AFL.
Is Basil still even on the line?
All right, we're going to have to move on to number two. And fittingly, we learnt where Roo's favourite place for a number two is.
I love outdoor dunnies. We have a transportable toilet up the river when we go up there when we're just caravanning. We set it up so it faces the river. Door open, wake up, poo with a view. It's absolutely magnificent. Looking over the pelican flying on them.
Thanks, Roo. Let's check back in on the longest question ever from Roo to Basil Zemplis.
I hate the fact what they did with the contract in Melbourne. I know it's the biggest stadium and...
Yep, still going.
Some people call it the best, but have a look at your stadium. Have a look at Adelaide Oval. What's the Gabba going to be after they
Number
spin?
One, we found out that Roo has a few pizza ovens.
When I sell my house, it's going to be 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2-pizza oven.
Then Roo's wife Sarah called us up.
Just had to ring in because it was pretty funny.
And told us about another oven.
My worst smell would have to be getting into bed some night and my husband has a little present ready for me. When I pull the sheets back.
Oh, Sarah.
Yes. It's a macro churros, a Dutch oven.
And he is disgusting. It's like he waits until I get in there.
Who ordered the extra cheese?
Finally, let's see if Roo has finished the longest question ever and see if Basil can fit an answer in.
$1 billion on it for the Olympics. The same in Sydney. Take it around our great country and let everyone show off and put on a great grand final week.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, Basil, we've run out of time.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Go and get stuffed, Sammy.
Hey, that's what happened this week.
I've copped it right up the...
Wazoo.
Anyway, a lot of fun. Thank you.
Hey, Roo, earlier this week you told me about Wang Wang and Foonie. Yeah. They've got the little window of 36 hours.
Yes, he's got to do something in 36 hours to try and get a little baby panda.
And you mentioned to us that he needs to get sex fit.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. He needs to get himself into perfect conditions. Have a listen to this.
They've got a very narrow window, so there's a 36 hours in which mating can occur. Bringing them together in that sense is always a bit of an unknown.
Keepers are still making sure he's in tip-top shape.
He's doing some squats and some crab training just to really give him that endurance and also to build up some of that muscle condition ahead of the activities to come. He's a ripped panda at the moment.
He's a ripped panda?
I've been called that myself.
You've been called a ripped cat.
Isn't that your handle on Instagram?
Yeah,
ripped
panda?
Rippedpanda.com.
Yeah. See, that's wrong going wrong. I don't do the crab training. That's what I've got to do. What else was he doing? Crab training and squats.
Yes, well, there we go. Yeah. Just so he can last a bit longer.
Dits, what are you doing?
Oh, mate, look out. How's that though? Three. They got a personal trainer in for the panda.
He's literally doing squats.
Five. Wang Wang. Yeah, he squat. Apparently, he can squat 120 kilos now, Wang Wang. So
that's about what I'm squatting.
Well, hopefully it works this year. Those pandas are underperforming at the moment, a bit like the other black and white team. In
there. Oh, there it is.
Boom, boom. Roo, your boyfriend's through to a grand final.
He's in a grand final. Massive for Melbourne fans. They haven't been there and won one since 1964, if you don't mind. And if he wins, he'll be just like Ron Barassi. Wow. How big's that?
Keys to the city.
Simon Goodwin, welcome to the show.
Morning, boys. Good to be on and good to be talking to you.
Yeah.
Start of the year, you were one of the coaches getting talked about getting sacked and Melbourne are no good. You've had two poor years. But I'm led to believe you ran into Mike Sheehan in a pub in Victoria. Let's have a listen to Mike Sheehan on Fox Footy.
Tell you a funny story about Simon Goodwin, the coach. We're in the pub at Sorrento in March, and Simon said to me, "You're playing golf?" I said, "Yeah, you'll be playing soon." He said, "No, I'm too busy." I said, "No, when you get the arse, you'll be playing." Right? And he said, he went like that to make sure no one was listening. He said, "If we don't have any serious injuries this year, we'll win it." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "I'm dead serious."
Gee.
So his view before at that time was, we're ready, and they've played accordingly, haven't they?
Were you bluffing, Goody, or do you really think you were going to win?
I don't bluff, or I'm no good at poker. No, it's it was something I was pretty strong on with Mike. You know, we had a good chat over a couple of beers, and you know, we come off a really strong summer, and you know, I truly believed in the playing group that we were capable of achieving this year, and you know, we've got ourselves to grand final, but we still know we've got one game to go. But you know, after the summer that we had and the injuries that we dealt with in the pre-season, that the guys that got into themselves, I was really confident of where we could go.
Well, I take those things into account, Goody, when I ask this question, but what's changed? You know, you're not like a radically different group all of a sudden. What is different this year, whether it's about your coaching or the players, that's changed?
Oh, it's a maturity about the playing group. There's no question about that. You know, they've taken great ownership in you know, the foundations that were laid in terms of what they wanted to be seen as and how they wanted to play. And you know, we really needed them to invest into some things that really shaped, you know, how we were seen. And you can see the selfless nature in how they play. They play an aggressive style of play, and they commit to the contest every week. And you know, they've really owned that throughout the whole season, and they've changed the way they've gone about their footy. And that comes with maturity, it comes with adversity, and it comes with just, you know, doing these things year after year.
Goody, without delving too deeply into the past, a lot's been said in this town about the Crows camp, but you had an experience as well as the Melbourne Football Club where there was some negativity around a camp going back a couple of years, and everything looked as though it was a bit, a bit negative, if you know, coming out of your club. That was something obviously big that you had to deal with as well and turn that around.
Yeah, look, it was something that, you know, we worked incredibly close with the players about what were the aims of the camp and what we wanted to get out of that period of time. And really it was about building a work ethic that was going to sustain us over a period of time. And you know, we acknowledged that the camp might not have been the best way to go about it, and a different way of going about it was within our training and how we go about our training on the training track. And so just finding a different way to go, working with the players to find a solution to the same outcome that we wanted to achieve. And a lot of coaching and management, that's what it's about. It's about finding the outcome that you want to achieve and working with the people to achieve it.
Speaking of training, let's have a listen to what Lee Matthews had to say.
You've got to have a fair dinkum contact session, and that's as much for your mind as it is for your body. I mean, if there's a risk of injury in that contact session, I'd be taking it.
Lee Matthews there talking about having a tough preparation in. You've played one game in 28 days, and you've flogged the sides that you've been playing. I remember back in 98, Malcolm Bight flogged us for a few weeks leading into the granny, and we ran over the Kangaroos in the second half. Sounds like you're taking the same approach and going to knock them around a bit on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been training hard for the whole season. You know, we haven't backed off one bit, and we'll continue that. You know, we certainly know that our training is our preparation. It's more about not only physically preparing, but training the mind to prepare ourselves for what's ahead of us. And you know, we had a strong session yesterday. We'll have a really big session on Saturday, a match simulation session and another main session that's going to have a lot of contact in it. So, you know, we're really confident in our way our players prepare and obviously within our high-performance medical team. So our players will be ready to go, I've got no doubt.
You've both been captains, and some captains can be a bit nonchalant and sort of slip under the radar, but you seem to have a bloke there that He's like the heartbeat, isn't he? Just seeing him last week, not just because he kicked the 5 goals and he was dominant, but even when he runs onto the ground, Goody, he's smiling. He looks like he's got this infectious character and he drags them all along with him. Just explain a bit about Max Gawn to us.
He's just a unique person. He's got a character about him that draws people to him and draws people around him. And as you can see, he's captured a whole footy club and also a competition. That's the type of guy he is. He's an incredibly empathetic person to his teammates, but he trains incredibly hard and know what it takes to win. So he's got an unbelievable balance of when to be serious and when to have fun and how to bring real calmness to a playing group. And he's turned into an incredible leader.
I reckon he's one of those blokes, Roo, that all opposition fans love him too. Do you know what I mean? He transcends that, doesn't he?
Oh, he sure is. He's a superstar. He's playing great footy. He's 5-time All-Australian in the last 6 years. He's hungry to win a premiership, and the Demons are red-hot favourites to do it, Goody. All the best, mate. I really am super proud of what you've done over there. You've stuck it up a few people that wanted to get rid of you last year. You've stuck the course. You're getting the results, and you've got one more game to go, mate. All the best. And hopefully you can make a lot of Demons fans happy Saturday week, mate. All the best.
Thanks for those kind words, guys. I really appreciate the support you give me over the years. And, look forward to doing something pretty special.
There he is, Goody. Simon Goodwin here on Triple M. Yesterday, huge announcement concerns Adelaide. This is about the submarines. But I've got some questions, and I think you have as well. If you were working down there yesterday, let's say you're part of the big workforce, and you're making a French sub, and all of a sudden, ScoMo makes the big announcement mid-morning. Do you down tools and go, well, hang on, we're not making this anymore. Now we're making something different. And do we just scrap this French thing that you're halfway through building? What do you reckon happened yesterday, or how does that all work?
My best bet, and I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest, is that they would have kept everything quiet down there because they wouldn't want to upset them or frighten them. But I've got a text on the Automasters text line saying that... I know what's going on down there. Many guys will be out of work by Christmas. The current buildings are designed for diesel subs, not nuclear. So redesign and rework of the site would be 18 months minimum before any work.
Gee. So there'll be people employed to rework that part of it. But if you're building the actual sub itself, as of yesterday, I'm wondering, and I'm not...
Do you finish it off?
I'm asking these questions because I am scared about the workforce. I'm feeling for people that may be working down there. All of a sudden, you're not building the French. And the French, as you know, are very, very upset. They're very angry with Australia and America at the moment.
Yep, can understand that. Professor Clinton Fernandez, listen to what he says about going nuclear.
Australia is the first country in the world that will get nuclear-powered submarines without itself being a nuclear power. Once you've got nuclear fuel technology being used to power submarines, and that technology is operating in Australia, from that point on, it's just a matter of saying, well, why can't we have nuclear energy powering our other needs?
We'd be a superpower if we went nuclear because we've got 40% of the world's uranium in South Australia, so it'd be huge.
All right, now you raise a controversial point here as well. So from what I gleaned from the news services last night, these won't drop nuclear torpedoes, but they'll be nuclear powered.
Just powered.
Yeah, right. So
what happens if you have an accident out there?
Good question.
What happens if someone blows up a sub?
Yeah, great question.
A sub that's going to be built and ready to go in the water in late 2030.
We worry about oil spills off tankers. What about a nuclear spill if you're a sub?
The King George Whiting going to toast after that?
Bit ordinary. Like yellow cake. Hey, now, we've been told, we've tried to ring a couple of people, and we've been told, no, we are silenced. Anyone that worked or is working down there has been told, we believe, that they're not allowed to speak. However, we do want to find out what's going on. So 133353, you can be anonymous, or please, by all means, text us. What's the text line number, Roo?
0488851047.
Because these are all very, very serious questions. It's a big South Australian story. It employs
up to
so many
5,000 jobs up for grabs,
and the whole of the port, you know, to be revamped because of incoming business and the like. So it's a huge story for us, and I'm really keen to have these questions answered because I know nothing about this. Ignorant totally.
Give us a buzz 133353.
Talking about the big announcement, which will really, really have an impact on South Australia and Adelaide with the building of the submarines, Roo.
Yeah, we asked for a text on the Automasters text line 0488851047, and we've got one here. I know the Naval Group or the Naval Group very well. The French, very difficult to work with, and the company itself extremely toxic and highly unorganised. Good decision to make the switch.
Hell. All right.
There you go.
Now, we're getting mixed messages. We've had an anonymous caller say there won't be mass layoffs. People will be redeployed elsewhere. But it's a lot of workers to redeploy. I'm not disputing what you're saying to the caller, but I'm just thinking out aloud. I mean, we're talking thousands of workers, aren't we?
Let's go to Mount Compass. G'day, Paul. What would you like to say?
Morning, gentlemen. Yeah, my concerns is how is this all going to affect? We've already got trade problems with China as it is.
Yep.
But also, how is this going to affect us making us a target? Like if shit goes south with China, does that make Adelaide a target?
Well, listen, it's a good question.
Let's have a listen to ScoMo on exactly what you're talking about.
The relatively benign security environment that Australia has enjoyed over many decades in our region is behind us. This forever partnership that we've announced today is the single greatest initiative to achieve these goals since the ANZUS alliance itself.
So benign security relationship. So he's saying our days of just being secure are behind us.
Now we're in it. Now we are in the fight.
They've been talking about this stuff for a while, and that has worried me that, I don't know, I hate this. I don't know why we need to fight, but it's been happening forever, isn't it?
Well, this is my...
We've been lucky we haven't had a war in our lifetime.
My uneducated take on this is, if America calls us and says, we need you involved in this little conflict, then we jump because we need America. Now, I could be totally wrong with that, but that's how I've always seen these things. No matter what happens around the world, America makes a phone call to our current Prime Minister and we have to be in because we need America, don't we?
No. Hopefully we've got nothing to worry about. Anyway, that's what's happening, Dit. So we'll see what happens down at Port Adelaide in the next few years.
Rue, it's been a while since we've checked in with the number one lady in the state, Professor Nicola Spurrier. We've got her on the line. She likes us to call her Prof.
Yeah.
Morning, Prof.
Oh, good morning, Rue and Dits. Yeah, no, good to talk to you. And your audience is the actual age bracket that's most vulnerable to COVID, the elderly.
Hang on. Excuse me, Professor. We actually heard you talking about your son on the telly the other day about booking his vaccination online and how early it was for him. How did he go getting up on the Sunday morning?
Oh, look, he is a bit embarrassed. He's not talking to me. He put a lock on his door, actually.
Well, most teenage boys do that to keep mum out when they get
really,
to be teenagers.
Yeah, I really want to get in there and, you know, sort out the sock drawer because I've just had no idea how many socks teenage boys go through it.
No, that's a story for another day, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
What did you make of the Cross Keys Hotel banning interstate truckies?
Well, yeah, look, I do feel for the truckies, but businesses need to look after themselves too. Yeah. I've actually heard it's a topless bar. Is that right?
Well, it's been rumoured, yeah.
Ditch
and
I haven't been there, but that's what the story is.
We hear.
Sure. Well, I mean, I personally like my schnitty with Diane sauce on the side, but some folks like their schnitty with a titty on the side and have a mic to judge, you know? But no, from a health standpoint, I would like to say if staff do remove their blouse, please make sure you've still got your mask on. And punters, please try to, you know, stay abreast at least 1.5 metres. Sort of guide from the breast abreast, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, the prof's cracking gags.
Yes, he is cracking gags.
Hey, how's the wastewater testing going, Prof?
As I say, you know, it is Stephen's sort of area, the turds. So I sent him down to test the turds again on Sunday, and he said he enjoyed that shit show more than the shit show the power dished up.
Prof,
come on.
I reckon you're a Crow supporter, Professor.
I'm impartial there, Roo. No, I wouldn't want to, you know, the state who to follow.
What did you think of the footy finals on the weekend?
Oh, well, look, I have done my research, actually, and I know that the Western Sydney Greyhounds beat the Port Adelaide Electricity, and, you know, the Port fans were very disappointed, and the health advice for Port fans watching the finals in the future is to wear a face mask, of course, but also an eye mask, so it stops you from seeing the horror.
In fact, I think a few weeks ago when you said, do not touch that ball, the Port Adelaide players actually listened, I think.
I should do a separate press conference for the players so they can get that through their thick skull.
Oh, yep. Hey, you've copped a bit of criticism on the footy shows in Melbourne after the strict rules you placed on the Western Bulldogs. They've been tested 14 times in 25 days and you still wouldn't even let them out. Are you aware of this criticism?
Yeah, no, good to hear from the peer review board from the footy show. Look, I mean, they're not doctors. I just want them to have a little look at how their pandemic's going and look at South Australia, compare the pair. I mean, mind your beeswax, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, how's the QR code checking going? I know people have been a bit complacent. They've been a bit slack with this, haven't they, checking in?
Yeah, well, apparently the Port Adelaide Electricity didn't check in on Saturday night. Sure.
Let it go.
No, well, you're right. It is, actually, and I've got all the QR code check-ins from Chris Dittmar.
Oh, no.
Who is setting a great example.
Where's he been, Prof?
Well, he's checked into all the pubs in Adelaide, every single one.
Even the cross keys?
The cross keys is on there. All the bottle sure. shops. A couple of massage parlours.
Oh, he's been a bit tight.
No, I get a bit sore and a bit stiff.
From golf.
Yeah.
However, there may be a glitch in our system. Right. We have not one registered check-in at Chris Dittmar's home gym. Not a single one.
Yeah, no, I think it's on the blink, that QR code.
Good on you, Prof.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ruin Dits. Thank you, lovely audience.
There she is, the Prof. Nice to catch up. We'll talk to her again soon, I hope.
Look forward to it. Bit of leaked footage has come out of the Western Bulldogs change rooms after their massive win over Port Adelaide. Have a listen to it.
Sounds like a nightclub.
Yeah. Well, they turned all the lights down. They turned the music up flat out.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum. They got a couple of cartons of beer and they were celebrating.
Gee. So on the grog.
Yeah, only a couple. But there's been also a leak from the Port Adelaide change rooms after as well.
Oh.
Have you heard these stats?
No.
Thought,
no,
oh, I you haven't. Haven't. Okay, let's just get this up.
That's not true. Takes responsibility for the loss.
Yeah. Turn it off.
Oh, no.
Oh, you happy with yourself, eh?
Hey, what? I didn't leak it, did
you? Oh,
someone's just sent that in on the Auto Masters text line, 0488851047.
Yeah, rock, sport and comedy. There you go, right there.
Campbell up the Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom, that's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
This time of the year, there are some many, many hard decisions made by football clubs, and we saw one with Port Adelaide last week. We saw Hamish Hartlett on the news services, very emotional, after 193 games with the Power. He's 31 years of age and was told no longer required. Let's get him on. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Good. Hamish, you were very emotional when we saw you on the 7 News the other night, and understandably so. So tell us, just how tough was it?
Look, it's been a difficult 2 or 3 days for sure. I guess, you invest so much time and effort into a club and, when you don't get the ultimate reward that everyone's seeking at AFL level with a premiership, I guess there's some sense of unfulfillment when your time does come to an end. So that's been a difficult one to swallow, I guess. And the other thing is just the relationships that I've built with this particular playing group over the last 2 or 3 years has been incredible, and something I'm going to be very sad to miss from here on out.
You've had knee reconstructions, Hammy. You've had plenty of soft tissue injuries. Was the hardest thing you've ever dealt with telling the players that, it was all over?
Yeah, just about, Ru. And I haven't even had the opportunity to get up in front of all the players just yet and do that. After my meeting with Kenny and Chris Davies, I went down to the change rooms and there was probably, 10 to 15 of the boys down there who I all gave a hug to and, shed a few tears and that sort of thing. So I haven't even been able to get around to the entire playing group yet, but I'm sure that time will come.
Hamish, as I said, you're 31 years of age, so you're not done by any stretch. And certainly you've always been a fit, strong, athletic lad, running off half back. But you weren't in the side for the last half of the season. So as you walked into that meeting, did you know what was coming, or were you absolutely shocked?
No, I wasn't entirely shocked, Dits. I sort of had some idea of what was going on, and you know, the club has been pretty open and honest with me and with Michael Dowdy, my manager, over the last 3 or 4 months about where things are at. And then Kenny sort of rang me a couple of days prior to my exit meeting and said, mate, I want you to come in and have a discussion with you about where things are at. So when you get that phone call, you sort of get a fair idea of what's about to happen.
Yep. But then again, I suppose when it is final, it's still hard to take and it's emotional. Now, I've got to be honest with you, and we actually spoke about this on this very show going back quite a few weeks. There were rumours going around that you were linked to the Gold Coast even a month ago, 6 weeks ago. Is there any accuracy in that?
Oh, look, we've reached out to them, my management and I, just to see where they're at. There's still some things to work through there. The Gold Coast aren't entirely sold on that idea just yet, I suppose, but you know, they've certainly said that we'll keep them in mind. So I know there's been a lot of rumours floating around, particularly on social media, that's signed, sealed and delivered, but I can assure you that it's absolutely not at this point.
Okay.
Well, it's fair that enough. Time of year when rumours are flying around, Hamish. Whatever happens, whether it's the Gold Coast, another club, or SNFL footy or local footy, whatever, mate, all the best. You've been a really, really important part of the football club. Everything I hear about you and the way you conduct yourself is A-grade. You're a very important leader down there. You're the glue down at that football club. So any football club is going to benefit from having you at their disposal next year. So all the best with that, mate. Just quickly before we go, can Ollie Wines win the Brownlow on Sunday night? He's had a hell of a year.
Yeah, absolutely he can. And hopefully he does, because there's a big crew of about 10 of us going over. I think all the other boys that have been invited are taking one of the other players, and then it's just going to be Ollie and his missus.
No girls.
So, oh, no.
Ollie and his missus and Olivia. And then apart from that, it's going to be a table full of the boys. So
right,
oh, she is. The Rowdy Table Award goes to Port Adelaide. I've won that a couple of times. It's not a bad award to win.
I'm sure he has.
Hamish, we've loved watching you, mate, and I hope it's not done for you yet. Let's hope something can happen, mate, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Good on you, fellas. Thanks for your support, as always.
Good on you, Hamish. Well done, mate.
Hamish Hartley and Roo, you're all I ever hear from all the lads is, great bloke. Good
yep,
fella.
You don't want to lose blokes like that, but you have to make the tough calls in footy clubs, and Port have made a real tough one there.
Roo and Loz, the William Tyrrell case has fascinated Australians for years. In fact, I think this has dragged on for about 8 years now, and started to see the promos on Channel 7 in recent days where there is explosive new evidence. Michael Usher is on the line. This is coming up on the weekend, in fact, on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Michael, good morning. What can you tell us about the new evidence about, what's got police excited now?
Look, this is, on the anniversary, it's just past of William's disappearance again. They have gone back, they tipped the case upside down, as they do when these investigations go for just a bit too long, and tried to look at everyone again. Now, they're focusing on one main suspect. They believe new information, but an older suspect that they might have looked at in the first place. You know, it was 2014 when William went missing this month. So they're shining a spotlight on that person. What they seem to have successfully done is eliminate people. Now, that said, the one person that we understand they're focusing on is not easy to try and deal with. Yes, there's a bit of hope here, but it's certainly not the light at the end of the tunnel yet.
Why are you saying it's not easy?
Because the man that they're focusing on the most, and these are all allegations, obviously, is a person of interest called Frank Abbott. Now, Frank Abbott is a convicted pedophile. Frank Abbott is serving time. Frank Abbott has said nothing, and they can't get enough close information about him directly, but at least they're now sharpening the investigation around that person, we understand.
I'm reading here where you say a new witness comes forward with new information. So I guess we have to understand that this information is very, very reliable.
We're pretty sure that it is, and it's something that's been taken very, very seriously by the police at the moment. This is coming from their investigation and a little bit of what we've turned up as well. The whole trick with the William Tyrrell case is that they are certain that not only does the person who took him know, obviously, but people around that person also know, and they have stayed quiet. They're hanging on to, a bloody terrible secret and won't give that person up.
Right.
So a lot of the police investigation pressure has been trying to flush those people out, to be frank, and just say, look, you're sitting on evil here. Mm. Why would you hide?
Why would they do that? Unless they're sort of complicit with the pedophile.
Could well be. Don't forget that when, shortly after William went missing, police uncovered a pretty dirty racket in that area of a pedophile ring.
Right.
And there was a whole lot of protection going on. And it almost looks like a whole lot of, you know, old creeps moved to that area because
yeah.
they could live in caravans in bush areas and somehow communicate with each other and have a common, dirty, filthy, evil secret.
Now, you were saying before things that you've turned up in your investigation. Now, police are obviously doing their work. You're doing your work. Are you finding things that are even new to even police? And what do you do with that information?
Well, you talk to them about it. There's no doubt about that.
But do you trust
it's been
them?
A difficult one. Well, you have to, don't you? Mm. I mean, what do? You can't just sit on information if you've come up with stuff and you know, let it go nowhere in such an important case. The police investigation's in a funny state, though. You know, don't forget Gary Jubelin.
Yeah, where's he in this? Did he do anything wrong? Does anything that he did wrong impacted this case or not at all?
Look, if you talk to some in the police, they'll go that, you know, he went a bit lone wolf on the whole thing. He was charged, don't forget, for allegedly illegally recording one of the witnesses. I know Gary pretty well. He's now a civilian. He's turfed out altogether. A good cop who hates bad people and goes after them. I think his treatment was pretty rough. And he was dedicated to doing something about this. He was passionate. So I know the families involved, everyone close to the case, are disappointed he's not in anymore. And you know what? And there's a perception of a fair amount of malaise in the case in New South Wales, that it's, have they got the right detectives on it? Are they going hard enough?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we're shining a spotlight on it too, because there's a bit of a feeling that it's gone, you know, sadly dead in the water.
I hadn't heard about what you were saying about this, say, gang, if we could call them that, living in that area. You know, what pressure has been put on them to move out of the area, to shift?
Yeah, huge amount, and a lot of them have dispersed, and a couple of them old died already in the time that have passed since 2014.
Mm.
But I can tell you this, I mean, the cops have had them under surveillance like a hawk for a long time, so there's been enough pressure put on them to get out of town.
Right.
And a couple have been charged for other things along the way too. It was like it was allegedly under his grandparents' network, which is pretty sick as well, they were calling themselves.
So, you know. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. I'll tell you what, you've got me intrigued.
Yeah.
I will definitely be tuning into this. So we're talking Sunday night here. 7 News investigates the disappearance of William Tyrrell, and it's at 7 o'clock this coming Sunday, Channel 7 and 7 Plus. Michael Usher, thank you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thank you for the time too.
Very busy man at the moment, Roo. Pete Murray, not only an EP coming out, new single, but we're watching him on SAS Australia as well.
Yeah, we're talking about Pete Murray, and he joins us now. Good morning, Pete.
How are you guys?
How did you enjoy getting bossed around for a few weeks? We had Heath Shaw on the other day. He said it was one of the hardest things he'd ever done.
Yeah, it was very intense, mate, very intense. And, you know, look, I like that sort of thing, and I went on there for the adventure of it, really, to see, you know, what you would do and how well you would cope. You know, some of the tasks that we had to do were as scary as they were exciting, you know. And, I mean, there was one on TV last night being, you know, put the seatbelt on in the Jeep and being sunk under the water.
That looked frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was, you know, it's funny. I think the fear of before you do it, there's this sort of fear and anxiety there. But when I took it under the water, I was pretty calm. But I made the mistake, you know, if you're waiting for Foxy to touch you on the shoulder before you can go to get your seatbelt off and go. And his hand came in, I saw it and I anticipated it. And I went to grab the seatbelt and then his hand went back out. And I went, I'm going to fail this. So the only thing I could do was go back and hold the steering wheel again. And I reckon he made me wait at least another 10 seconds.
Hey, I'll teach you a lesson.
Come on, mate, come on. Wow. So I was pretty keen to get out of there once he touched me.
Yeah. I can't swim and I'm claustrophobic. I couldn't have done. There's no way in the world I could have done that. So we've interviewed a few of the celebs on it. What is there one thing that stands out for you? Is there the one where you went, nah, this is the worst thing I've ever done?
The car thing that was my favourite, to be honest. When I was watching them, part of me was going, give your number in, because this could be, especially when the DS are telling you that, you know, we may need to have to resuscitate you and put the tongue out the back of your throat. They make it sound so inviting, don't they?
Yeah.
So I think, but when I did that was so rewarding. The thing that I probably missed because Sam got his head stuck in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was one of the remaining guys that we couldn't get through there because he got stuck there for so long. But Ant came up to both myself and Sam and said, you guys are going to love this next one, because we didn't know what it was. People were sort of running through and we didn't know that it was a tunnel. But he sort of came and said, you guys are going to love this one. But we could hear these guys banging on this thing and they're going, you're halfway. And I remember turning to Sam going, this is a tunnel underground. I don't know what this is, but it's going to be something claustrophobic.
Mm.
And we're both sort of sweating. And then Ant came up to us and said, I'm going to tell you what it is. Just because you guys are broader than everyone else, there's only one way you can get through this next thing. And I'm going to tell you, it's a tunnel. And the only way you can get through it is to put your hands up and use your fingers to kind of get yourself along and your toes.
Oh, no, that's tough. So
I had that image in my head thinking, far out, this is not going to be fun. and then Sam went, and then no one came back for ages. And then eventually they came back and said, you guys don't have to do this now because your mate Sam got stuck in
there. Well, he's 6'5" and about 120 kilos, so he's a big boy, big wombat going through the hole underneath. Hey, we'll keep watching SAS Australia. It's fantastic. We love watching everyone else get scared and flogged and bossed around except for us. Hey, you got a new song coming out called Hold Me Steady. Tell us about it.
Yes, mate, yeah. I wrote the music here in Byron Bay, and I went up to the UK on a tour, and I met it with a couple of brothers, Joe and Dave Dunwell, over there. Real soulful voices, these guys. So we wrote the lyrics for the song. You know, the song's about just someone awesome in your life, whether it's a parent or a partner or your kids. And it's probably it's probably the most enjoyable chorus of mine to sing because it is just such a nice vibe to it and has this nice soulful feel as well.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. Well, look forward to playing it here on Triple M.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Pete. Well done on SAS Australia. We love you on Triple M, mate. All the best and thanks for joining us.
No worries, Andrew. You better start warming up your vocals, mate. When I get down to South Australia next, I'll get you on the Byron session.
That'll be a very good way to clear out the audience, mate. I'll get up there at the end of the show with you.
All right. Thanks, mate.
There he is, Pete Murray. Let's have a listen to Hold Me Steady.
Next time you see me, Dits, I'll be on crutches.
Why? What's going on?
I'm having a reasonable size operation a result of playing football. My left knee is absolutely no good. And can't have a replacement because I'm too young. Apparently, they don't like to do it when you're in your 40s.
Okay. Mm.
So they're doing a operation that they do in the UK a lot. It's not done here a lot. Mm. And it doesn't sound great. They actually break my legs.
What?
Yes, they break my legs. So they cut
that
through.
That doesn't sound like fixing it, does it?
No.
You come out worse than what you went
with
in.
With a saw.
Hang on.
Through the tibia.
That's how they break your leg.
Straight through.
Now, that's a good question. I often wondered, when I've heard, I had to break it to reset it, I thought, do they smash it with a hammer or what do they do? Well,
They cut it with a saw. Gee. And then they put a wedge in there to try and straighten it up. Because what happens is you wear out your cartilage, you wear out the inside of the joint. That's what I've done. So your leg bows.
Oh.
So they put a wedge in there to straighten it up, puts the pressure on the outside of the knee, which is the good side of the knee.
Yeah.
Therefore, you got less pain in your leg.
Right.
Apparently, you get 5 years or 10 years out of that.
Right.
And then you can have a replacement.
And then you've got to do it again.
Well, you have a replacement then. Like the older people do.
So break your leg and start putting pressure on a different area.
6 weeks in crutches.
Oh,
so you have to get me coffees and all that.
I'll be carrying you again.
Yeah, you'll be carrying
me. I already
carry you. All right. And it's the same bloke who's operated on you 14 times over. He does a decent job. Anyway, just thought I'd share that with you.
Fix a sore neck or back with a same day 30-minute treatment at physioextra.com.au.
What a goal!
Ruined its overnight sports.
Now, we've been talking about Jordan Dawson for days and days and days now. We know that both Port Adelaide and the Crows are after him. Now, apparently yesterday he did a tour of the facilities at West Lakes, and Channel 9's Tom Wren says that there's one thing that could get this over the line for the Crows.
Mark Rusciuto, as I said, one of his favourite players growing up.
Sorry. Oh, no.
What?
What? Mark Rusciuto, one of his favourite players
growing
up.
I had no idea about that.
Oh, my God. If you're the difference... If you are the difference,
he'll be in Port Adelaide. If we are clutching at straws.
Oh, my God.
He'll be at Port then.
Daniel Tarley is believed to be talking to three clubs.
Three.
They're saying Richmond, Brisbane, Geelong have shown interest.
Right.
Hey, what about this one, Roo? You know your football club got hammered when you let Mitch McGovern go, or he left.
Mm.
Carlton are putting him up as trade bait. That's the story.
A bit of a rumour going around about that. He hasn't exactly shot the lights
out. He hasn't.
Old Mitch, but I tell you what, if he finally got his body right, he could be very, very good. But time's ticking for Mitch.
Hey, what about the story with getting tickets for the grand final? Tell us about this. The numbers are extraordinary.
That's what they're saying. They put the last 10,000 tickets on sale yesterday. They had 180,000 people in the queue ready to buy tickets. They're saying it could be some sort of world record. Yeah. But demand for the game over there. I mean, the Bulldogs in Melbourne, it is going to be a great grand final. We're due after a couple of poor prelims. But 180,000 in the queue for that.
Do you know what it tells me, Ruth? The support for the argument of shift the grand final around. Surely it's growing strength.
I'm filthy on that.
If these sorts of numbers are coming up.
How good would it be in Adelaide? How good would it be in Brisbane after they spend $1 billion for the Olympics?
Yep.
Sydney, you know, the best, you know, the Olympics over there was unbelievable. They should do it. They got the Brownlow over in Perth this Sunday as well, Dits. That'd be sensational over there. I reckon even Benny Cousins is heading along, according to Tom Brown.
Ben Cousins was formally invited to the Brownlow because he was the 2005 winner. I've just spoken to the AFL, and Cousins has accepted that Brownlow invite for Sunday night. Now, he was released from jail recently in December. He's been playing local footy for Queen's Park, and several prominent journalists in Western Australia have told me there is hope over here that he's back on the straight and narrow. The AFL expect him at this stage to attend the Brownlow on Sunday night.
Gets a lot of headlines, Benny. I sat next to him at his last Brownlow, actually, Dits, and I said to him, Benny, do you want a beer? He's sitting there with his mum. I said, Benny, do you want a beer? He goes, nah, I'm easily led. So I said, all right, mate.
When did he work that out?
Well, he's just, by the sounds of it, about 6 months ago.
Right. Hey,
good luck to him, hopefully he gets himself sorted out.
Yeah. Former North Melbourne coach Brad Scott's taken up the job as the new general manager. This is the one that Stephen Hocking had.
Oh, Dits. So he's going to be your new favourite.
Yeah.
Can you give him a top 10 things that he's got to do?
No, there's a top 100.
Top 100?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few things he can change.
All right. Because I think Jars and Bernie did that yesterday.
Tom Mitchell, despite being talked about leaving Hawthorn, won his third best and fairest.
Imagine if they trade him.
Mm.
Won his third best and fairest and they trade him off.
Mm. Amazing. Hey, just quickly, the SANFL Team of the Year has been announced. Quite a few AFL, ex-AFL players, mate. Tyson Stengel, who's had a very good year. Daniel Menzel, Richard Douglas, Riley Knight, Matty Broadbent, former power halfback. He got in.
Did you say Gibbs?
I'm getting there. No. Bryce Gibbs. And also Kieran Strawn, the ruckman who featured the Sean Wren lookalike. He got in. And I want to mention that Casey Voss in the back pocket. Now, that's Vossie's son, isn't it?
I spoke to Vossie about him. He's going very well.
Yeah.
Playing
so there you go.
Hey, what about the Western Bulldogs audio too? Now, this has been leaked after they just got up against Port Adelaide in the prelim. This is what the change rooms were doing.
Disco.
Lights out.
Yeah.
They had a sing-along. They were having a ball, but they got the frothies out.
You're joking.
They turned back the clock back to the old days and got a couple of cartons. This is fair dinkum.
You sure that wasn't half-time? No, that far in front, they'd started celebrating.
That was half-time. They did. They got a couple of cartons out. This is absolutely sensational to hear.
Mm.
That they'd played well, they'd travelled all over the countryside, they got the job done, couple of cartons on the floor, a couple of beers each, they got 2 weeks off, so it's not going to affect them.
So they went on Mad Monday.
Well, they had two beers each, or a beer each, that's not going to affect them, but it's good to see that they're having some fun.
Yep.
Sometimes coaches get carried away and don't let them have any fun, and that's why they play stale football.
Well, hear good things about Luke Beveridge, their coach. Anyway, that's our look at sport.
You telling us about the front bar, Nitz?
Is it my job?
Yeah.
Were you watching last night? This is my favourite show on TV.
Well, it is. Very funny show. Especially when they take the mickey out of Paul.
Yeah. All right. That wasn't
no wonder we didn't want to talk about it.
They were talking about the fact that, as we had mentioned, the Western Bulldogs had to travel here, there, everywhere. They went to Launceston, up to
Brisbane,
across to Perth, then to Adelaide. Now they've got to go back to Perth. And they showed on the map, you know, where their travel had taken them. And then they did Port Adelaide's.
In week one of the finals, right,
they
played in Adelaide. Week two, they stayed there in Adelaide. They had a week off.
Yep.
Then in week three, in Adelaide again. But they had to drive all the way from Albany, headquarters in Albany, all the way to the Adelaide Oval, Mickey.
Yeah,
and by the way, there were roadworks on North Terrace, and they got held up for several minutes.
Oh, that's terrible.
How dare they take the mickey out of your mob,
Dits? When does this stop? Yeah.
Triple M's ruined Dits and Channel 7 could send you to the 2021 Toyota AFL Grand Final.
Watch 7 News nightly for the code word.
Okay, we're just dialing the number now. I have no idea what's about to happen.
Hello, this is Leah.
Oh, hi, Leah. It's Hayden from Triple M. How are you doing?
Hayden.
Hey.
I'm very well.
No, that's okay. I just needed to just check a couple of things with you just before we call or, you know, get the winner back. Is your name, do you spell your name L-E-A-H?
That's correct.
Okay. And you're in Kent Town, that's right?
That's right, yep.
And if you win, are you free next weekend?
Oh, you betcha I am.
Okay, now that's really good because, hang on, there was only one more thing we had to tell you.
You are off to Perth.
You're off to the grand final to see your beloved demons.
No way. Oh my God.
You are heading so to close. WA.
I cannot wait. Go, UDs.
Flights, accommodation, tickets.
Wow.
How good is that?
I cannot believe it. Oh my goodness.
Are you sure you can get the time off?
And I'm just pumped. Sorry?
Are you sure you can get the time off?
I am so there. I'd quit my job to go.
Who are you taking, Leah?
I'm going to take my partner, Brandon. He's a Crows supporter, but right. The caveat is that he can come as long as he puts on red and blue and, you know, barracks as loud as I do.
Beautiful. He will. Well done. Congratulations.
You, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Triple M, Leah. Well done.
Thank you.
And also, thank you for watching 7 News.
For lunch or after work knockoffs, lock in the Lockleys Hotel on Henley Beach Road. On Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Rare.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
You did well at Balaclava during the week, Roo. Can you back it up?
Oh, I hope so, Dits. One of my favourite horses is running tomorrow in Sydney in race 8, number 3, Gitra. It's a South Australian horse, runs interstate because it's so good.
Yep.
A few locals own it. It's a superstar, this horse. Not saying it'll win, but I just, you got to watch it.
Well, it's getting ready for a big race, isn't it?
Oh, it's getting ready. Loves winning first up, too. Don't worry about that. Don't be surprised if it knocks off Nature Strip, but keep an eye on it. Gitra, it's a great horse. Never gives up.
Righto.
Never stops. I've got a nag running tomorrow too.
Have you?
Race 3, number 4, Italian Viking.
Italian Viking.
I'm not telling you to back it, but funnier things have happened. But what I am telling you to have a couple of bucks, I'm saying $3 each way. I said $2 each way.
That's a big bet. Three each way.
Race 8, number 7, Turbian. Stokesy's horse. It loves it first up.
Right.
It's very well weighted. It's on the minimum, so it's going to feel like it's got nothing on its back. I think you can back this thing each way.
Okay.
All right, might be a bit under each way odds. Back it each way. I reckon you can't do much damage here. Race 8, number 7, Turbian.
All right. Hey, before I go, all the fellas in my hometown, Harndorf Roo, A's and B's in the granny
really?
Tomorrow. Yeah, yes. More grand finals tomorrow.
Gee whiz.
So good luck to the lads.
Good luck, boys.
The black and white.
Yeah, good luck everyone who's competing in grand finals this weekend as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll catch you soon.